Pastor Jason, I need some smooth jazz at the end of this. No, not literally smooth jazz, just some rockin' music at the end of this. Awesome. Good evening, church. Let's pray. Dear God, I just thank you so much for this night. Lord God, you have brought us through an amazing day of being able to worship you, Lord God, hear your voice. And also, Lord God, to reflect upon your word. Lord God, I thank you for the words that we've heard and what you've spoken already, Lord God, even in the morning, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that as we hear more of your word, Lord God, and press into you tonight, Lord God, I just pray that what you're calling into our lives tonight would just be so evident to us. And we thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness and for what you're calling into our lives tonight, and what you just continue to pour into us, Lord God, every single day. And I just pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So, hello. It has been a wild year. Okay, that might not sound real because it's just everyone just says wild year. That's like a catchphrase. But I've just felt like this year has been a remarkable year. I can't think of a year that started off the way that this one did for me and for my household and for our lives. I know that God, I remember at the beginning of the year, Pastor Doug and I had a sit-down conversation, and we just chatted about just what this year could hold and some of the things that we're excited about. And even going into September, same thing, we had the same conversation. But it was this year that God just really started to move in some interesting and amazing ways in my life. And I think tonight, as we come into tonight, I just want to start off by saying and asking this question. What if tonight was a night where God, awesome. It's not supposed to be that amazing of a moment, but that's okay. What if tonight was a night that God spoke the next into your life? I want you to ponder about that. I just want you to take a moment and think that through. What has your last circumstance? What has your last year looked like? What are you experiencing from last year to this year? And then just take some time and listen to some of the words that God has just poured over my heart over the past days, just getting ready for this. One passage that I just want to point out before we get started, or as we're getting started here, is Romans 12:2. Can I, before I say this, I want to say that if you did not get here for this morning service, it was a really amazing time. One of the best times that I've ever heard, just such a challenging preach. I really felt, this is a weird like shout out, but I really felt like this was one of the most monumental and challenging preaches that I've ever heard and walked through this morning. So if you haven't had a chance to hear it, I would encourage you to go online and hear what God spoke through Pastor Karsten today, because I think that it was something that had great value, great depth, and is where God is taking us as a church next, where he's moving us to and continuing to develop in our hearts. But I just want to start with this. It's Romans. I have tiny tabs and they are all over the place today. But Romans 12, verse 2. And it says this. Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world. Let God transform you. If we transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And the next passage I want to go to is Philippians 2:12. Thank you, tabs. Okay. And it says this. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now I am away. it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. To do what pleases Him. I have this quote that I read online a while back, and it's this. It's from his name is Mark Nepo, I believe is how you say that last name. By no means is he specifically a Christian. He's somebody who has inspiring quotes and inspiring words about spirituality. And this is the quote that he stated. It says this: To listen is to lean in softly with a willingness to be changed by what we hear. Let me say that one more time. To listen is to lean in softly with a willingness to be changed by what we hear. I think that God actually, as I was coming into this week, has been saying something in my heart. I know from this year, the reason why this year has been so impactful is because this is the first year. I have had monumental moments in my life, monumental moments in my experiences in faith. It was in this very church that I actually had my first moment where somebody prayed for me, and I had that unconscious moment of waking up moments later and have a healing in my body. This church, this very church, I was 10 years old. Craziest thing. I don't even remember what it looked like. I think there was chairs. Were there chairs before? I wasn't here then. I was here then, but I wasn't here. You know what I mean? But I've had monumental moments in my faith where I've had God come in, step in, and put His fingerprint on my life and said, "Here I am. I'm with you." And there were moments of trusting in Him, moments of being able to step out. And I can remember every single one of those moments was not built on a great foundation of faith. In fact, that moment where I came up here for prayer, I kept watching people come up, get prayed for, experience something. I didn't know what it was because I wasn't close enough to hear what they had to say. And even as a 10-year-old, I went, well, my back's been hurting for years and I've been dealing with this for a long time. I played hockey and that was something that I experienced. I played hockey, but I walked up here and I said, "God, here's the reality. If you are actually going to heal me, I'm not going to play around. It's not going to be some moment where I let somebody touch my forehead and I'm going to pretend something happened so that they can feel good about it. God, show up." And God showed up. 10 minutes later, I woke up and I'm like, "Whoa, how'd He do that?" And I don't even remember who it was that prayed for me that night. I just remember my mom going, "We really should go to a service tonight. We really should spend time getting closer to God." And I think even as you come into this space, as we spend time, as Pastor Doug has positioned this night to be, it's meant to be a space to reach higher and grow deeper. So can I ask you that question once again? Is this going to be a night where God sets vision in your heart? Because I believe He is. So the title of my sermon tonight was Lean In. And that quote from Mark Nepo is a reflection of how we can do that. And I believe that God wants to speak into our hearts tonight. So at the end of the night, I'm just going to ask people to come up. And if you want actually something in your life, if you're feeling a pull and a drive in your heart tonight to experience something new in 2020, then I just call you into that space. Come into this space and pray at the front. And if you're not somebody who's calling on that, if you're not somebody who's feeling that call in your heart to come forward, can I encourage you to do one other thing? Because as a church, when we read the first passage, it actually talks about later the idea of us being a community of believers that work together as one body. As somebody's coming up here, can you come up and agree with them for something? Can we as a church begin to exhibit faith on behalf of other people and come up and pray with somebody tonight? And I'll explain that a little bit later. But I just feel this call to lean into God tonight and see if God's going to do something new. Let me explain what I experienced this year. At the beginning of the year, when I started my season, we have a leaders retreat that we go to, and it's based out of the the district. They put it together, and we go with our leaders, and it's meant for them. It's meant to pour into their lives. And as I went into there, I had a dream. I'm not going to tell you the entire details of that dream, but I need to be really vulnerable with you tonight, if that's okay. And it's not meant to be vulnerable in the sake of weakness, though I am. And God does things in my life and needs to, just like he needs to in all of our lives. But can I say that God gave me a dream 3-4 days in a row where God was pulling things out of me and he said some very deep and important things to me in my life. And I started having these moments, these dream moments where God was beginning to speak. And I would wake up at 4 a.m. in the morning and I'm like, God, what are you doing? And why am I up before my kids? That was meant to lighten the mood and be a joke. Thank you for laughing. But I woke up day after day after day, and then I realized that as God was speaking to me, what he was doing was he was revealing things in my life that I needed to let go of. And there was this really neat moment one morning that I woke up, and God said, you need to confess this to your wife. You need to confess this to your wife. And it was simple and small. Don't get too ahead of yourselves. Because we all like to go there. Don't. It's not worth your time. But God said that as you, every step you take, every moment from now until I am done with you, and you come and meet your Savior, you need to open up and reveal and confess and speak what is going on in your life, because what I am calling you to do is to be great. What I am calling you to be is the masterpiece that I have called everyone else to be, but you're your version of it. No painting is the same. No piece of art is the same. Every single one of us is gifted with something. God is just waiting for us to lean in and hear more of what he's got next. A lady, that's so vague. One of the leaders in the district one time, the very first pastor's retreat that I went to, came up, prayed over me, and had a word. The word that was spoken, you might have already heard this already, I might have said it, makes it six. But the word was water tower. It took me years and years to land on that. And God has actually called me and uses me to be an encourager. That's what I meant to be. It also means that as a water tower, when the water gets toxic, you're less of an encourager, if you know what I mean. So I hope that tonight God can use that and use that in me to pour into your guys' lives. That's what I meant to be. That's what I'm going to call out before we begin and get a little bit deeper on this. But I believe that tonight God is inspiring us to faith. I believe that tonight God is inspiring us to the next thing that he wants to call out of our lives. The two passages that I read, the first one is talking about the idea of do not be conformed by the patterns of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I can tell you that as I walk through the world, that stuff, that the we'll call it the dust of the world, finds its way on my heart, finds its way on my life. I only have to spend 2 or 3 minutes on Facebook. I only have to spend 2 or 3 minutes with a youth student to just feel and filter some of that stuff. I need to go to God and go, can you take this off of me? It's too burdensome. I can't handle these things. And as he does that, he renews my life. And as I don't allow the enemy and his arrows to pierce into me, I actually find relief in that. I find peace. So in Romans, it's talking about the idea of not being conformed by the patterns of this world. And the patterns of this world are just going to be the sinful desires, the attitudes and the attributes that we see in the world all around us. The idea of when I get on the bus and if I talk to the bus driver and he's happy, that's great. If he's not happy, that's unfortunate. But as I walk into certain moments, he's not saying that as I go into that bus, as I spend time with that person that's next to me on the bus, he's not telling me to be anything other than Christ in that space. But am I ready? Am I equipped to walk into that space? And can I be that for those people? Well, is it even my job to be that for those people? I think it is. I think that as God works out our salvation with us, and Paul talks about that in the second passage I read in Philippians 2:12, Paul is talking about the idea that while he was with them, they were on good behavior. And I'm being kind of crass. I believe that God was working out in their lives their salvation. But Paul was saying that it's not about when we're here that we work out our salvation. It's when we're somewhere else. It's when the good behavior doesn't need to be done. It's where integrity comes in, and integrity has to be part of the equation. Because integrity is not what's seen in public. Integrity is what's seen at home. That's where integrity actually lies. And that's what Paul was talking when he spoke this. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. You see, when we have a spiritual leader over us, when we have somebody that can tell us and encourage us and walk with us through the things that are there in front of you. Like, I love retreats with youth. Retreats with youth are like a Christian bubble. Nothing goes wrong and it's all wonderful. And then you go home. And your parents are cranky. They're loving and wonderful people. Let's be real. But your parents are cranky because something didn't work out. Or you run into your first problem. Or you run into your first equation. Or like marriage counseling. Man, I love marriage counseling. Because you walk through it and you're like, guys, you're selfish. And one day you're going to figure that out. And then you get to start working out what it means to not be so self-centered. Because now you have to work with somebody else and become one. You see, in the good moments, in the wedding, in the retreat, it's easy to do our best. It's easy to be who we're supposed to be. But in the moments where we're actually supposed to be transformed, those are the moments when it's hard. Those are the simple, subtle moments in our life where we have to take courage. And we have to say no to the devil. And we need to flee from his schemes. And those fiery arrows that get shot. Let me just explain the fiery arrows that I sometimes feel. Maybe you do land on these as well. But sometimes these fiery arrows talk to me about how somebody doesn't like me. Or another fiery arrow. That person thinks that you did a bad job up there this evening. Or another fiery arrow comes and hits. These people think less of you than they should. Do we know those fiery arrows that come into our heart, that come to challenge and test and take us away? Those fiery arrows that Job felt very distinctly, that weren't fiery arrows that are figurative, but very specific, like those that took his family as the accuser came in and took his family. Story of Job, his entire family died. What the enemy is looking for is waiting for us and prompting us and getting us to a place where we will act and react to what the stimulus is. But God is saying in every single one of those moments, flee. Flee from the enemy. Get alone with me. Come and see me. I can tell you that even tonight, I've had moments where I've had to like text my wife and be like, Jessica, pray. Pray because I'm not strong enough. I'm not strong enough to work through what I'm going to talk about tonight. And sometimes I get challenged by those things. Has anybody ever been in a situation where the enemy has weakened you or wants to weaken you? Can I tell you that there's relief when we walk to God? And as we do that, we find greater and greater strength. Even tonight, I got to sit down and pray going into this message. And already I can feel God's presence coming into this space. And that is just such a blessing to me. But God is looking to transform our hearts and our minds. So I want to talk about leaning in, and I haven't started yet, so I'm going to get into it. So first things first, why? Why do we lean in? Why do I think that God wants us to lean into him? Now let me first explain what leaning in is. For this year, my experience with leaning in meant that God said every single morning, and this is mine, this isn't yours, you might think I'm crazy, but my leaning in every single day, and this is not a moment of pride or a moment of strength, this is a moment of God empowering me to do what he wants me to do. Let me say that one more time. What I'm about to share with you is a testimony of God's grace in my life and in my heart as a pastor in this church. Reality. God, every single morning, has given me the opportunity and ability to wake up at 5:30 a.m., to wake up and pray for my pastors, to pray for my friends, to pray for my family, and to pray for my ministry. A thing that I have not experienced in my ministry at this point yet. Doesn't mean that I didn't pray. Don't judge me. But it's something new to me, and I love it. I am in love with this lean-in. And what happened was God at one point, that dream that I had at the beginning of the year, God said something very specifically, and I'm going to be very vulnerable. And I've asked God multiple times about this, and I hope it's okay. So here we go. The dream was, Kyle, your pride is get. I'm prideful. BT-dub. That means by the way. But I'm prideful, and I struggle with that sometimes. And I have shortcomings. And God was pointing out some of my shortcomings. And what he was saying in that was he was saying that if you can't respect, and I'm not going to tell you why, if you can't respect and follow along with your lead, that means my senior pastor, and he just pointed out subtle things that I wasn't letting go of. And I think as a church, he's saying the same thing to every single one of us every single day. If we cannot trust the people that are in spiritual authority over us, I have a hard time seeing how God is trusted in your life at all. Let me say that one more time. If God has anointed pastors in our congregation to be leads, and me especially, I'm just calling this out on myself. God said, if you cannot trust your lead, if you cannot respect him the way that you should, you can't respect me. That totally needs to sink into our hearts today. Because it's a word and a testimony of my heart, but I still feel like it's something that we can all work on. I do. I don't know what it is, but I just feel like it's there. Because leaning in those moments of 5 a.m., I can tell you, I have mornings where I will just get silly. I will have mornings where I'm just like, my brain does not keep up. But every single morning at the exact same time, my alarm doesn't go off and God says, wake up, it's time for prayer. That's just his leaning in. That's his grace. It's nothing to do with me. It's all to do with him. Take that. Own that. It's not me. Get me out of the way of that picture. But God wants us to lean in. He wants every single one of us to lean in. I believe this for our church, and I believe that as we lean in, think about it. In the last several years, our lead pastor has brought to our church 11 sevens. You know what that is? It's 11 till 7 a.m. prayer meetings. That means God is calling our church to pray. That means God is calling our church to dream with God, communicate with God, spend time with God, intercede with God, and just be there and shake up things in our world. God is doing something here. Come on, I'm a water tower. That's what I'm meant to do. This is meant to shake you. I asked a young adult one day, what would it take, you know, what would it take for you to do an 11-7? What would it take for you to do an 11? I'm not telling your name, their name. But what would it take for you to do an 11-7? And it just was like, I don't know. That's insane. That's insane. Now, if they're insane, I'm not calling you to do that stuff. I'm just saying respect the process and respect what God is calling our lead. That's all I'm saying. Respect that space. But we're meant to lean in, and God is calling us as a church to lean in. Take the facts. Take what God has done in the last couple years at SPA and what he's doing even today. He is calling us to lean into himself, and he is calling us to the next thing. And I believe tonight he's calling individuals in this space to come to him. But I need to keep going. So leaning in. Why do we lean in? Well, I believe we lean in because God wants to expose our hearts. God wants to expose our hearts. That's the first thing he did when he leaned into me. And that's what happens. God leans in first. We don't lean in first. But as we lean into God, he wants to expose our hearts. He wants to expose it for two different things that I see here. The first one, he wants to point out our shortcomings. He wants to point out our shortcomings. And I look at this. Now, when I woke up that one morning and I had to say something to my wife, which is really small, and then God made my life just brand new. It was just brand spanking new. I'll tell you the next piece to this. But what happened is that I realized that God was saying something to me that I thought was so subtle and so small. But in Hebrews 12, yeah, in Hebrews 12, 5 to 12, it says this. It says, and have you forgotten? And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as His children? He said, "My children, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when He corrects you. Don't give up. For the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes each one He accepts as His children. As you endure His divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as His own children who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father." It's father. There's no gender there. If God doesn't discipline you, He does. If God does not discipline you as He does all His children, it means that you're an illegitimate and are not really His child at all. As we lean into God, He wants to correct. Can I just challenge something tonight? We're not done yet. Who believes that? Okay, let's just accept that point. Second thing, He wants to provide defense against the accuser. See, the reason God, this is something that He spoke into my heart, and I think it's legit, is that once He speaks that and He brings correction, say He exposes something in my life, if He lets something come out and I have to expose it and I have to show it and I have to be free of it, what happens next in my life is the greatest piece to this whole thing. And we'll look in 1 Corinthians for this. 1 Corinthians 15 says this. You've all heard this. I'm certain of it. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? We heard about this morning. My dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. You see, when God begins to expose things in our lives, when God starts calling stuff out of us, and I hope tonight that there's a moment where people will get God to call something out of them, because you know what happened for me? When I have something exposed in my life, when there is light shone on it, I get to be free of it. We've heard speakers come in and talk about this. And when I get something exposed in my life, when something is opened up in my life, and there is a space to be able to be free of big or small things in my own life, and God is saying, hey, just deal with this. And then once He says, hey, deal with this, and you deal with the discipline, whether it's apologizing to somebody, whether it's dealing with the struggle, every day I'll go out and I'll be like, I've struggled with this thing. I need to talk to somebody and apologize about pride, or my in-laws, if there's something that's gone on with them, I need to go out and I need to speak with them. But God, every single day, will give me something and point it out. And well, maybe not every day, but in days, He will bring me forward and go, you need to deal with this. You know why? Because if I don't, the accuser has ammunition. The accuser has ammunition. As we get things exposed, not only does God want to show and reveal stuff in our hearts, but we have the authority to laugh at the devil when he wants to accuse us of something that we are redeemed for. This is what Christ did on the cross. He redeemed everything. And what He wants to do is let us walk in that redemption. If you walk through struggle in your life, if you walk through something where you've held on to for a very long time, it's time to let those things go. It's time to face those things so that you can be opened up and ready so that the accuser no longer has ammunition and you can let the Spirit walk and work in you in fullness. If that's any good, say amen. Oh, good. Oh, good. Yippee. Second, when we lean in, we work out our salvation. Philippians 2 talks about the idea of working out our salvation. Working out our salvation does two things. Salvation is both for us and for others. We're supposed to be children of light. We talked about the idea of exposure, but even as we become openly exposed to things, and then we let the light shine on us, it says in Scripture that our good deeds, Matthew 5 talks about the idea of our good deeds bringing glory to God. Why? Because they're not of us. They're not of us, they're of Him. So as God begins to just pour out in our lives, and I can tell you that as I've spent time praying in the morning, my team, every single week, we see victory in our youth program. Michael is my board rep. Every single week I get to go up to him, and I'm pretty sure he's like, is there anything wrong with this youth group? Because I just have such a good rapport in my heart, and God is showing me the amazing things that He's doing in young people, not because of me, but because He loves them. Now, can I just stop for there for just a second and say that I believe that as our church prays diligently and leans into God, that not only will we see the salvation working in our own lives, because I know that as I lean into Him and I drool at 5 a.m. and just pray with Him, I know I'm bringing light to that, that's fine, whatever. But as I spend time with Him, I know that God is renewing and building and growing me to be better. I face fear, I've dealt with depression, and I deal with it on an ongoing basis, but I know that my accuser, my enemy, anything that he wants to hurl at me, God is going to give me victory in every single one of those areas. And not only that, but as I pray, I get to see God's glory shown in everyone around me. Church, are you ready to stand up? Are you ready to pray for each other? We work out our salvation that way. And our pursuit of others is meant to be a... We heard that this morning so well. We heard that this morning. I had a Sunday school class this morning. Olivia, we talked about this. We talked about the idea of what it means to be evangelists and what it means to be evangelists in school. And it's horrifying. It's horrifying. It's always a little bit scary. But the words that came out of my mouth were assertive instead of passive. And the words that came out of Karsten's mouth this morning was the same thing. In our faith, as we pursue other people with a passion for Christ and a passion of love, the apostles, they were put to death. Stephen was stoned to death. But you know what? When he was done and he was about to die, he said, do not forgive them for what they are doing. Forgive them for what they are doing. Don't wrong them for this. Don't hold this against them. Why? Because he caught the heart of God. It wasn't about the persecution. It wasn't about what was going wrong. He loved people so much that he was willing to die for them. And he was a man. What if God did that in us? Saints, let's awake tonight. And then finally, it's to seek God's next, and it plays into the other things. You have to look back and know that first century church disciples, they had a really short shelf life. They never got stale. It's kind of horrifying to say it that way and a little bit morbid. But the reality is that they never stopped. They worked and they worked and they worked until it was done. The only one that didn't die... that we know, he did die, but the only one that we know that didn't die specifically because somebody killed him was John, and instead he was just trapped in an island of Patmos, shipwrecked there and all alone. What is God calling out of us so that we can move and change the world? Because one thing that God called into me this year, and one thing that God has said to me, and he said, I want to build out of you, is the same thing that he said to Joshua as he began to lead the people and Israel into the promised land. And that is, be strong and courageous, because the responsibility that I'm placing on your heart is yours to carry. What if somebody here, what if multiple people here are meant to carry out a ministry that's going to change Edmonton forever? What if? Or what if you already are? We don't need a shelf life because we have a home and it's not here. Again, we heard about that this morning. So the questions here are we sleeping in our faith? What is the next pursuit for you? In your faith, what are you currently pursuing? What are you currently chasing right now? What is God calling out of you right now? What is God wanting to redeem in this world? And he just wants you to be part of it and stand up in courage and step into that. Because every day is a day for loving other people. Every day is a day to pursue new people. Every day is a day to step out and say, I want to be used, God. But you need to wake up in the morning and ask that question, because if you just assume that God is going to do it without your permission, he's a gentleman. And you have free will. And just like Queen Esther and Mordecai, when Mordecai came up to Esther and said, you need to go and talk to the king. And she said, what if he kills me? And Mordecai said something very simple, very easy. The king's going to kill you anyways, and God will find somebody else. So do we want to see these things in our life? Is God calling something new out of us? Is God calling something new to happen in your life today? I don't know. God placed this on my heart, and I just want to be faithful in speaking it today. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask the band to come up. Jason! And he's so faithful. He'll just be right here. He'll be right here. He's good at this. He knows. I hear noises. Seriously, water tower. Water tower. I didn't tell you how the spout works, but that's what it is. So what I want to ask tonight is, we're going to get people to come up. If God is just pulling on your heart tonight, if this has been something that's been of value to you and you feel God's just going, yeah, I want his next, I just encourage you to come up and begin to pray. And if you're just wanting to be behind somebody and praying for them, I encourage you to come up too. We need all hands on deck. If we can pray for people and see what God's got next for us, I'm loving the ministry. The next piece to our campaign is going to be amazing, because God's going to call even crazier things out of us, I'm sure. But let's get started. We're gonna worship God. We don't even need words, but you can totally do that. But yeah, let's have some music. If you want to come up, if God's calling something, come up, be here, be at the altar, and just begin to ask. Because how we do it, how we do this part right now is real simple. God is God and you are not. God is the one that empowers. God is the one that saved you. God is the one that brought his spirit upon you. And God is the one that's wanting to empower you to good and better and best things. You've all been given gifts. As the church, we're called to use them as the body. God's going to use us for something else. God's calling something out of our church. Do you feel it? Do you know it? Do you see it? If you don't, I just ask, come up and ask for more faith. Just come and ask for more faith. But all you have to do is come with a humble heart. That's the only part I didn't share on. Come with a humble heart. And second, be ready to unpack some stuff. Because if God wants to unpack stuff at the altar tonight, be ready to unpack it. Be ready to unpack it. Because as he reveals those things, not only will you be free, but you'll be free to do what God wants you to do next. So let's just come up. Let's come up and pray.